A very good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service. It's been quite a nice week since we were able to meet last time, and we're just praising the Lord for His goodness, for His hearing and answering of our prayers, and for His divine protection over each one of us. And it's indeed a good time to be alive, but also a very solemn time, because as we see the world growing more wicked, we understand the nearness of Christ's return and how careful we must be to avoid partaking of the spirit of the world and to keep ourselves free from it. For those that will be friends of the world will be the enemies of God, and we definitely don't want to be God's enemy. We want to be His friend. We want to do His will and bring a smile to His face. For there's enough occurring in this world, especially from His professed people, that keep Him sad. And we want to bring some joy to Him and not add to His sadness. So again, welcome, dear ones. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone. And to those that will be playing the recording of this service at a later date, welcome. And let's get into our service for this evening. Our opening song is entitled Blessed Assurance. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1914.htm.
Good evening, and God bless you all. Peace and grace to everyone that's listening in, and God bless you all who will be listening in later on, by God's grace, to WLMR. What a rejoicing to be here, and even to be quite alive during these very sobering times, but exciting times. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen, and I love this song. Thank you, brother. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads before our great God for opening prayer this evening. Our dear beloved Father, we thank you so very much for thy divine protection, for thy watchful care, for your ruling and overruling providences in our lives. Thank you so much, Father, for allowing us to be alive in such a time as this. Thank you also for giving each one of us a part to play in thy work. Whether we have one talent or many talents, help us to be faithful in using what we have for thy glory. Father, continue to speed and spread thy truth around the world. Fill this dark world with the glory of the light as it shines from the face of Jesus Christ. Let more and more people come to understand the plan for their salvation and help them to accept the Savior that they may escape from death and enter into life. Father, we give you full and complete control of tonight's meeting. We ask that thy presence will be here. We ask that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be here as well. Please open our understanding, dispel the darkness in our hearts. Let all preconceived ideas and opinions, all false understanding, be eliminated from us, that just the truth as it is in Jesus may be clearly and fully understood, especially in areas that we are not following it. Father, remove our ignorance tonight. Help us to see ourselves as we really are. Help us to understand that there's nothing to glory in us, but everything to glory in our Savior. And thank you so much for being here and for doing these things according to thy perfect will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And let's continue in our article that we're studying entitled Consecration. And the article can be found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1385.htm. So consecration. And we're down to the fourth paragraph, which begins, "By their fruits you shall know them." So this is an article that was taken from the Review and Herald of February 18, 1862. So 150 years ago. And it starts out, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Now it doesn't say partially know them, or maybe know them, but by their fruits ye shall know them, without a doubt, because fruits don't lie. They're an indication of what is within the heart being manifested out in actions. So whatever fruits you see, then you're going to know that person. You're going to know who rules in them. Continuing, "All of Christ's followers bear fruit to His glory." So if you're a follower of Christ, you will not bear fruit to your own glory. You will bear fruit to the glory of Christ. So in just these two sentences here, we can tell an awful lot about who's working for God and who's not working for God. We can tell who's a follower of God and who is not a follower of God. If you see an individual that professes to be a follower of Christ, but they're bearing fruit to their own glory, not to the glory of God, then you know that they're not a follower of Christ. In truth, they're still following self. So by their fruit you shall know them, and all of Christ's followers will bear fruit to his glory. Continuing. Their lives testify that a good work has been wrought in them by the Spirit of God, and their life is unto holiness. It is elevated and pure. Those who bear no fruit have no experience in the things of God. In other words, no good fruit. Continuing. They are not in the vine. And then John 15, verses 4 and 5 are given. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. In other words, nothing to bear glory to God by. You can do a lot for the devil, but that's not bearing good fruit. That's bearing evil fruit. Now, I find it interesting, in John chapter 15, and the first few verses here, verses 4 and 5 were quoted, but in John 15, in the first few verses, is a point I want to bring out here. It says, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So Christ is talking about individuals that have accepted him as the Savior. But some are not bearing fruit to his glory. And what happens to these individuals? Every branch in me that beareth not good fruit, the Father taketh away from me. In other words, he's separated from Christ. Now, if you're separated from Christ, are you saved? And the answer is no, because it's only in Christ that we find eternal life. So here we find that there's individuals that have accepted Christ as the Savior, but then they don't bear good fruit. They don't bear fruit to his glory. They've gone back to their old selfish life. And what happens to these individuals after they've accepted Christ, but they continue to bear evil fruit? They're cut away from Christ. In other words, they're lost. So the Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. The Bible doesn't teach once converted, always converted. The Bible doesn't teach once accepted Christ, always accepted Christ. But the Bible teaches that after we have accepted Christ, we must bear fruit to His glory, or we're going to be cut away from Christ and lost. This is true. The comments in the room, it is a daily battle. It is a daily walk with God. That's very true. So those that have accepted Christ and are continuing to be converted are continuing to accept Christ and to bear fruit to His glory, what happens? The Father will purge these individuals so that they will bring forth more fruit to the glory of God. What does it mean to be purged? It means that worthless material is being cut away. Those that have grown grapes, you can get some pretty long grape vines branches off the main stalk that just travel all over the place, many feet. But all of that extra footage is taking up nutrients that could go into growing fruit. So what you have to do is you have to trim those long, several foot long branches so that as you trim them back, now all of this extra nutrition is allowed to be put into growing fruit. So those that are in Christ are going to be purged from all their worthless material, all of their baggage, so that self may truly be crucified, and thus much more energy can be put into glorifying Christ. And we read 4 and 5, now verse 6. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So those that were once in Christ, but continued to bear fruit to their own glory, were cut away from Christ. They were cast forth as a branch, and is withered because they have no more connection with the living vine, and they're going to be burned. The only way you can live is through Christ. The only way you can bear fruit to the glory of God is through Christ. If you try to find salvation through your own works, you're lost. If you try to find salvation through your own pick and choose religion, you're lost. If you try to find salvation through any other human being or any other so-called God except Jesus Christ, you're lost. It's only in Jesus Christ that you'll find eternal life. We can't directly connect ourselves with the Almighty. We have to first connect ourselves with Jesus Christ. And then through Him, we're connected with the Almighty. You must be connected with Christ in order to be saved. Because He is the only mediator between you and me and God. Thus, without Christ, we can't bear any glory to God. Without Christ, we have no life. So truly, without Christ, we can do nothing. Continuing. If we would be spiritual worshipers of Jesus Christ, we must sacrifice every idol and fully obey the first four commandments. What were the first four commandments dealing with? Our love to God. In Matthew 22, 37 and 38, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So the first four commandments out of the ten in Exodus 20 can be summed up under the principle of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the last six would be loving our fellow men and women as ourselves. Continuing. The first four commandments allow us no separation of the affections from God, nor is anything allowed to divide or share our supreme delight in Him. Whatever divides the affections and takes away from the soul's supreme love to God takes the form of an idol. So an idol doesn't have to be a statue that you see with your eyes. It can be anything that diverts your attention or intercedes between your soul and God to where your supreme love for God is now divided between this other object, this other thing, this other person, and God. So whatever divides the affections and takes away from the soul's supreme love to God is an idol. So when God tells you not to do something, and someone else tells you it's okay to do something, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to show your love for? If you follow what God says in His Word, then you're showing supreme love to God. If you follow what this other person has told you, then even though you may love God, you're dividing your love with this other person because now you're obeying him or her above God. Thus, they have become an idol. They are getting part of the love and affection that should go to God alone. And there are a lot of human idols in this world, especially in the religious field. There doesn't have to be just living idols. It could be idols of an inanimate nature. Whatever you place your love upon that should go to God alone, that inanimate object, that hobby, that way of life, that car, that house or property, that business or job, whatever it may be, has become an idol to you. That church denomination, that's one of the greatest idols that there are in these last days. That's why God says, Babylon is fallen, come out of her, my people, so that you won't be destroyed along with her. So that your affections will not be tied to that fallen denomination that is only an empty shell of what she should be in service to God, because she's serving herself under the name of serving God. So whatever divides your affections and takes away from loving God supremely becomes an idol to you, and thus you're breaking the first commandment, the second commandment, the third commandment, and the fourth commandment. You're breaking them all. Continuing. Our carnal hearts would cling to and seek to carry along our idols, but we cannot advance until we put them away, for they separate from God. So if we have any idols that we're clinging to, then we cannot advance up that straight and narrow path any farther until we put the idols away. We get rid of them because they're separating us from God. Continuing. The great head of the church has chosen his people out of the world and required them to be separate. He designs that the spirit and life of his commandments shall draw them to himself and separate them from the elements of the world. To love God and keep his commandments is to be far from loving the world's pleasures and friendship. There is no concord between Christ or Belial. Concord means agreement. So there's no agreement, there's no contracts between Christ or Satan, and thus there is no friendship or agreement that's to be between God's followers and the devil's followers. Continuing. The people of God may safely trust in him alone, and without fear, press on in the way of obedience. So if we're trying to be the friend of God and the friend of the world at the same time, what's going to happen? We're going to be 100% worldly, because we cannot serve two masters. And human nature is such that who we love the most will become like in character. And since we're already tending towards the world because of our fallen natures, then 999 times out of 1,000, we're going to follow the world. So if we truly love God and keep his commandments, then we're going to be far from loving the world's pleasures or being her friend. Because there is no agreement between Christ and Satan, and thus there cannot be any agreement between God's true followers and the devil's followers. And this is the only safety that we can find in this wicked world. is to come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And when we do so, when we put away all of our idols that our affections are being divided from God in, then he says, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. So once the Spirit opens our understanding and allows us to see what idols we have in our hearts, that's the time to plead for the grace and strength to put them away, to destroy them, to break them down, to get rid of them out of our lives. Just as God told the children of Israel to destroy all of the idols and images that were in the promised land that they found. There wasn't to be a single one left. And there's not to be a single one left in our lives. And once we do so, and once we ask God to forgive us for these idols, then he'll receive us as his sons and daughters, and he will be our God. And dear ones, to have God say that you're my son or daughter means more than all the money and the riches and the honor and praise that this world can give you. Because he's the Most High. He rules the entire universe. For him to acknowledge you as his child is an infinite honor, but not to the world. To the world, to be acknowledged as a son or daughter of God is the ultimate insult. Because the devil wants you to be his son or daughter. He wants you to be a friend of all of his followers in the world. So again, we're faced directly with the great controversy. On whose side are you going to stand? Who are you going to follow and obey? I hope and pray it's God. Because if we confess God with our mouth and with our actions by the fruits we bear, then we'll be saved. We'll be his child forevermore. He'll be our father for eternity. And Jesus will be our elder brother. And we'll also have millions of brothers and sisters that are all making up part of the body of Christ. The glorious redeemed, the righteous living saints, all of the martyrs of Jesus, from Abel all the way down to the last until Christ comes, we'll all be related to them. One big, glorious, joyful family of the redeemed will be part of that family if we're faithful to the end. And it's all possible through Jesus Christ, because in him is life. And if we're connected with him, then we're connecting ourselves with that eternal life. So if we abide in him and he abides in us, then we'll be able to bear much fruit to His glory, to His praise, bringing a smile to His face, joyfulness to His heart. And that's truly something to have as a goal. So we can safely trust in Him alone and not in any church, not in any man, not in ourselves, but in Him alone. And then we're safe. So keep looking up, dear ones. That's where you find your strength and life. Are there any comments or thoughts or questions, dear ones, that you'd like to bring forth? We've come to the end of our article here. There was some good substance in this inspired article. And I hope you were blessed.
Praise the Lord. Actually, I was going to say something, but I'm more impressed to sing something, and I pray that that's okay. Okay, because it's been kind of humming through my head since you were reading and we were sharing all these things, dear brother, and the different comments that have been coming into the room. And I was about to say something, and I think the Lord said, no, just sing this. So I will do that by God's mercy and grace. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and cheers no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still, if thou abide with me.
Praise the Lord, dear brother. It's so good to have you back with us and hear your voice. It's a true blessing. As you were singing that song, and the words are so appropriate for what we're speaking on tonight, the song came to mind of I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Praise the Lord. Yes, truly, truly, we all need the Lord so much every hour.
I have to say that during this last little bit of time, over the last week or so, I find that little trials seem to magnify themselves. And I'm finding more and more that when I see those trials magnifying themselves, as I tend to see how much more I have in many little areas, relied more on my own strength. And this lesson, this last piece, is very, very pointed. I can't do anything. And I see how the Lord is showing me. I really, really can't do anything without Him. Nothing good whatsoever, but without Him. And every trial, without leaning on His promises, without trusting in His Word, without being very diligent in prayer and keeping psalms and hymns and spiritual songs stirred up in my heart at even the slightest sign that a trial might be coming. It is a leaning on oneself, and I'm finding that, and I'm a very, I have to say, you know, honestly, a very independent individual, stubborn to a great fault, and I'm sorry for that, because I know it's a hindrance also to the body, and the Lord is dealing with me in these matters, and I find that this pressing time that we are in, at least I find it to be that way, a pressing time. It is a pruning time, and that's what I see. That's why this little study was very pointed. It is a pruning time. It is a purging time. It is it's a cleaning time. And it's a time of great reflection, and we really have to see ourselves for where we really are standing before the Lord, and to allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to take great stock of the talents that the Lord has given us, for one. And I find, quite personally, to a greater measure, to take great stock at the exceedingly infinite price that was paid to bring us such a great salvation. And I believe that when we do that, a lot of other things fall into their proper perspective. I'm thankful for the Lord's mercy in my life, and I rejoice in the exceedingly abundant mercy that He has poured out in all of our lives. Okay, Sister Joan, God bless you. Sorry I didn't get enough time to spend with you also. But I'm definitely very thankful of God's mercy and long-suffering. And I know that in truth that the Word of God is true and that all things work to the good of those that do love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. So even though things may not seem so rosy at times, or we may feel a bit heavy and burdened with, at least I speak for myself, with overcoming and going through the purging process, the Lord is ever there loving us, and He really has prayed for us to succeed and to triumph in His name. His prayers are ever heard by the Father. So I see that the only way that we can fail is if we actually give up, and if we doubt His word, and if we go back and take our hands off the plow and turn back to Egypt. I can't see any other way that we will fail, because the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the victory, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us to overcome and to not let sin have dominion in our life, and to help purge us and cleanse us and sanctify us and truly make us a consecration unto God, so that we are really holy vessels unto the Lord. So I guess I've just been kind of pondering how, you know, some of the battles have been going. And this little piece right here of the study, dear Brother Rob, just kind of brings things home, and I'm thankful and very grateful. And we just have to keep each other in prayer, and thank you all for your prayers for us here. And we're going to continue pressing on, as we all must. The fight is not over yet. By God's amazing grace, we must continue to stay the course and stay in the race, because we're only going to get to the end if we endure to the end. We're not going to get there if we give up. So I praise the living God for all of my dear brothers and sisters, and I definitely praise the Heavenly Father for our dear elder brother, Jesus Christ, who without Him, we would not be here and would not be able to praise His name and would not be able to sing joyfully and rejoice in such a great salvation, and would not have such sweet, oh my lands, fellowship in the Holy Spirit amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, and would not have vision, and would not have hope, and will not have a desire to be able to give this great blessed news and gospel to anyone else if it were not for Him. So praise the living God.
Amen, dear brother. Praise the Lord for real. Praise Him, because He alone is worthy to be praised and worthy of all of our praise, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our dear Sister Rose put a quote in that I'd like to read, if possible, that I think is so appropriate for each of us this evening. And this quote is coming from Great Controversy, page 621, paragraph 1. And it says, "The assaults of Satan are fierce and determined. His delusions are terrible, but the Lord's eye is upon His people, and His ear listens to their cries." Amen. "Their affliction is great. The flames of the furnace seem about to consume them, but the refiner will bring them forth as gold, tried in the fire." Amen. God's love for His children during the period of their severest trial is strong and tender, as in the days of their sunniest prosperity. But it is needful for them to be placed in the furnace of fire. Their earthliness must be consumed, that the image of Christ may be perfectly reflected. Amen.
I got a quick comment on the the testimony that Sister Rose put in, and thank you, Sister Lynn, for reading it. It mentions that in our severest trials, when the furnace seems about ready to consume us in the flames, we'll be brought forth as gold tried in the fire. This brings to my mind the picture of the three Hebrew worthies that were thrown into the furnace heated 7 times normal temperature. The only thing that was burned on them was the ropes that bound them. That was the only thing that was consumed, was the ropes that had bound them. And once those ropes were consumed, Jesus was clearly seen. So it's the same with us, dear ones. In that furnace, it may be heated 7 times its normal range. The only thing that's going to be burned on us is not our life. It's not our soul. It's just self. The worthless baggage that's absorbing our attention and affections away from God. That's the only thing that's going to be cut away, only thing that's going to be burned out from us, until only Jesus is seen. And what gets us through that fiery trial? Because it's not just going to be a trial of 10 seconds. It may be a trial of many months. What's going to get us through? It's our patience, our resting in God. That's how we're going to possess the kingdom, is through the patience of our souls, patiently enduring whatever God allows to come our way, resting in His love for us. That's what brings us through the furnace of fire. That's what allows self to be crucified, because self doesn't want to be patient. It wants to rise up. It wants to demand that things are done now and gotten over with. So the very fire that Jesus has allowed to come our way to burn self off, self rises up and says, no, get it over with now. I don't want to have all of self destroyed. I want to keep some back. But God says, a little longer. Just be patient. That's what gets us through, dear ones. With our focus on things above and not on this earth, we'll be able to make it through the furnace fire, no matter how long it has to burn. God is watching over the heat. And if need be, He'll throw in all of His grace and strength that we need to survive. Amen. He will adjust the flames, and we'll come out refined, purified, sanctified, a vessel for His glory, if we'll just endure.
Amen, amen. And it's so true. And what a beautiful analogy, dear Elder Rob, that you put there about the Hebrew boys and the fire and the ropes. I've never thought about that before. And it is so true to think that the ropes were what was burned, and how the Lord wants us to see these analogies, so to speak, because that's the only thing that He will burn from us, the dross. The whatever needs to be gotten out of our lives, whatever idol that we have that we're still clinging to, that needs to be quote unquote burnt away. And so trials are God's workmen. I know I've read that somewhere in Spirit of Prophecy, that trials are God's workmen. And so while we receive these trials, and sometimes they become so intense that we think that we can't bear them, or even that we're about to give up, or maybe we feel that, we maybe even have given up. But God adjusts that flame again. He gives us a little respite. He turns the flame down a little bit. And then once he sees that we've gotten a little bit of a breather, he says, okay, time to go back in, turns it back up a little bit, but he gives us the grace and the strength because he's with us. And sometimes when it's so hard and yet we need to be there, he's holding us as we're there in the flame, so to speak, so that we can endure it. And as you say, Elder Rob, that's the only way that we can endure until the end. But Sister Rose has put in some more quotes here that are very, very good. I'd like to read, because maybe those on the phone would be benefited by it and blessed by it. Still Great Controversy, page 621, paragraph 2. And it says, all who will lay hold of God's promises as he did and be as earnest and persevering as he was will succeed as he succeeded. Those who are unwilling to deny self, to agonize before God, to pray long and earnestly for his blessing, will not obtain it. Wrestling with God, how few know what it is. How few have ever had their souls draw out after God with intensity of desire until every power is on the stretch. When waves of despair, yes, which no language can express, sweep over the suppliant, how few cling with unyielding faith to the promises of God. Amen. That is so beautiful. I was, by God's grace, able to find the hymn that Sister Rose was desirous of. It's called Moment by Moment. Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there. Never a burden that he doth not bear. Never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a heartache and never a groan. Never a teardrop and never a moan. Never a danger, but there on the throne. Moment by moment, he thinks of his own. Moment by moment, I've kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a weakness that he doth not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal. Moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Amen.
Elder Rob, the little part that you said concerning the rope and the zero in the hand, I never really have heard that. But the beautiful thing about the analogy also is that while the fire did burn up the rope, they were walking freely with the Lord while the fire was actually purifying them. So truly, when we hold on to the Lord in the midst of the fire, it is like really truly holding on to him, and instead of actually being burning, you'll be actually walking with him in the midst of while he's doing these works in us. There's a little part above the quote that Sister Lynn was reading that was left out, and there it says, the seasons of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger, a faith that will not faint though severely tried. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. His victory is an evidence of the power of, this word is kind of pardon me, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right. It's importunate, importunate prayer.
Amen. And thank you for the quote, and thank you for the songs. They were beautiful and touching and very appropriate for our topic this evening. And it encouraged my heart to hear them. And thank you so much. But what I want to do now is I want to open this up for prayer. Anyone that would like to pray, please feel free to do so. I'll go ahead and start, and the last one to finish praying will be the ending prayer. As I mentioned before, I don't think we pray enough, and I just want to make sure that, especially in Wednesday night meetings, that we take the opportunity to lift our voices in prayer. Not just for ourselves or for the home church here, but for each one of us, to lift each one of us up to the throne of grace so that we might have that extra abundance of God's power and mercy in our lives. And if we could just choose a day and focus part of that day on one or two individuals in the church, and then the next day pick another one or two individuals. And that way each week we are uplifting one or two of our brothers and sisters throughout the day before the Lord. And God recognizes those prayers of interceding for one another. And his ear is especially attentive to those interceding prayers and he will abundantly answer them and bless them in pouring out his spirit and giving them the extra grace and strength that they need, perhaps in that very day that we're praying for them. So let's go ahead and open up the remaining part of this meeting to whoever would like to pray, dear ones, and I'll go ahead and begin. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being here in our midst tonight. Thank you for opening our understanding. Thank you for pouring thy Spirit upon us. And please, Father, continue to pour him upon us in greater and greater early and latter rain power. Spirit, continue to prick our hearts. Continue to reveal to us our sins. Continue to point us in the way of righteousness. And continue to grant us the grace and the strength to confess our sins, that they may go beforehand to judgment, being forgiven, pardon written next to them, through the precious blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior, so that they will not follow us afterwards to condemn us, but we may have a record that is clean, washed, pure, and purified by the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray that you'll be with Brother Joel and Sister Pierna. Continue to lead and guide them. Give them the grace and the strength and the patience and the endurance that they need to continue advancing in the straight and narrow path. Thank you for letting their internet be fixed and for being back with us in the room, for we have missed them. Dear Father, I pray that you'll be with Sister Lynn. Continue to work in her life. Continue to give her the extra grace and the strength to remain firm and true in the faith, to continue to share her faith with others. And please be with her co-workers, with Latoya and the rest of them, and help them to allow the seeds that Sister Lynn has shared with them to sprout and to grow and to bring a change in their lives. Please be with her mother, with her brother Wes and her family members, and continue to work in their lives, leading them closer to thee. And thank you, Father. Please be with Sister Rose. Continue to work in her life. Continue to bless her, lead her, guide her. Let her know what you would have her do. And bless her efforts at reaching out to others in seeking to save the lost. And thank you so much, Father, for doing so. Please be with Sister Adele. Continue to work in her life. Lead and guide her. Allow the truth that she has shared to take hold in the lives of her friends and acquaintances, and let them truly be brought to the Savior to find salvation. Be with Sister May. Father, rule in her heart. Give her a love for thee, a love for the truth. Let her share it with others. And Father, allow her friends and co-workers, her relatives, to respond to the truth that she shares. Let them come alive, Father. Let them glorify thee and be happy in the salvation that you have provided for them. Please be with Brother Matt. Continue to work in his life. Give him the words to share with his friends and relatives. Help him to uplift the Savior before them so that they also may fall in love with him and become converted. Father, be with Sister Joan. Continue to be with her. Continue to shine your truth through her to others. Help her to be steadfast to what she knows. Give her the grace and strength and courage to follow it, regardless of what people may say. And thank you so much for doing so. Father, be with all of our church members. Lead and guide them. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to be alive for such a time as this. Also be with Sister Cece. Continue to encourage her, to strengthen her, to comfort her. Continue to uplift her and give her the extra grace and strength to lead her children closer to Thee and stand for Thee come what may. Thank You so much, Father, for being with us. Thank You so much for Thy merciful kindness. Thank You for the privilege and honor of calling You our God and to have You call us Your sons and daughters. Help us to live up to this distinct privilege and honor, and forgive us for falling so many times. But thank You for rising us back up and walking with us on the straight and narrow. Thank You for hearing and answering this prayer, and continue to be with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Oh, come on, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Righteous and Heavenly Father, to come before the Lord to give You thanks and praises. Father, thank You for the meeting that we had today, dear Savior. We are asking the Lord, as we have been brought at the feet of the cross, Father, Jesus, to be able to surrender our will to Thee. Father, may You bring in our minds the very things that is keeping us away from Thy kingdom. Father, we know that there is many things that are in us that needs to be removed, but dear Lord, give us the courage that we may be able to see through the light and the mirror that You have placed before us, which is Your law. Father, forgive us for our sins and iniquities and our shortcomings. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit, Father. Forgive us for not representing You in the way we ought to, Father Jesus, in this world. The world is in the place that it is because Your people are too afraid to be able to show who You are in their lives, Jesus. Father. Father, may You give us the victory, Father Jesus, that we may have the courage, dear Lord. May You please give us the spirit that we have to have, the spirit of John and the spirit of Elijah, dear Savior, that we may be able to come boldly before the throne of grace and surrender our will to Thee as vessels for You to use according to Your will and not our own, dear Savior. Father, I would like to come before Thee, Lord, to come before You so many sisters, Father Jesus. I pray for my sister Grace, dear Lord, that You may be able to give her the help and the strength that she may be able to continue on, you know, healing, dear Lord, of her health. And also, I pray, dear Lord, for my sister, my family, all of them as a whole, dear Lord. I pray for my dad, dear Lord. I pray for my mom. I pray for all the parents of all our brothers and sisters, Father, especially those that are in the valley of decision, Father. I pray for our extended family around the world, dear Lord, that they may be able to rise, Father Jesus, to allow You to be able to reign in their lives, Father. Help us that we truly may be able to become like the evil boys, dear Lord, willing to be able to go into the fire than to bow down to anything that is not of You. Father, we pray, dear Lord, that You be with our children. Help us that we may be an example for Ezekiel chapter 14:20 says that if it was to be three men, Noah, Daniel, and also Job, we would not be able to even save our own children, Father Jesus. But if we become the example as You was our example, Father Jesus, they will also have the courage to stand for You in their hearts, Father. Give us the ability, dear Lord, that we may be able to come boldly to the throne of grace and ask what it is that we are lacking, Father Jesus, what it is that we need, what it is that we need to be able to take a hold on, Father. For we are not able to save ourselves. Only You truly are the light of man, Father Jesus, I say. Help us that we may be able to be honest with ourselves and know, Father Jesus, we have fallen so short from Your glory. The only one that can truly revive us in this moment, Father Jesus, is you. Be the light in our hearts, Father Jesus, in our eyes. Be our feet and our hands, Father Jesus, to accomplish this work, dear Lord. Help us to know also that the universe is looking, we are spectacle to this world, dear Lord. Help us that we may be able to also know that we have the power from the universe to be able to help us as well. Give us courage, dear Lord. Give us strength, is my prayer. Thank you for being so merciful. Be with Jeanette and Bibi. Be with all the sisters that are being in this world, Father Jesus, and trying to be able to bring forth their families, Father. Give them strength to be able to bind their family unto you, Father. Be with all of us, I pray. But forgive me for my sins and my iniquity and my shortcomings. Forgive me for my Christ-like spirit, Father. Please do not allow my unrighteousness to be able to block the prayer, but let it be able to receive us a sweet favor unto the Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, for listening to us, dear Lord. Consecrate ourselves that we may be able to be an instrument for your glory. And we thank you, Father Jesus, for you are faithful God. All this I pray in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear kind and heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here this evening. Just praising you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy and for blessings that you've allowed us to see. And those that we don't even know about, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you're always there. And we know that if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't even exist, dear Lord, and so we thank you. Lord, I want to especially praise you this evening for allowing Brother Joel and Sister Pierna to be back with us, to be able to fellowship with us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing them to have the internet again. I thank you, Lord, and praise you. Lord, we know that we don't praise you enough. We don't thank you enough. As you gave the story of the 10 lepers to your Savior, and you healed them, but only one turned around and gave thanks. Please, Lord, that we would be that one that always remembers to turn around and say thank you, Lord, and praise you for all of your goodness and for all of your mercies. And thank you for helping us to learn how to say thank you even in the midst of trials, instead of the trials bearing us down or weighing us down, and sometimes we succumb to them and become discouraged because of them. Please forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, because I know I'm guilty of that. I thank you also, dear Lord, for seeing dear Sister Adele this evening. It touches my heart that she's here, and I thank you, dear Savior, for being with her and keeping her, blessing all of the family members, dear Elder Rob and dear Sister Michelle, that are on the front lines, dear Savior, and remembering the other brethren, Brother Justin and Brother Sean. You see their needs, Lord, and we thank you for being with the entire family. We thank you for also the others that are on the front line besides Elder Rob and Sister Michelle and Brother Joel and Sister Pierna, Sister Rose, dear Lord. She is truly a tyrant and prayer warrior for thee. And so please put your hedge of protection around her and her family. Bless dear Joshi, dear Lord, as he's growing up so beautifully in you. And that is a great testament to Sister Rose as a mom. So thank you, Lord, for being with her, for being with dear Sister Grace and her son Jonathan. And you see the needs that she has, dear Lord. I pray for her as well. I pray for other moms, dear Lord, especially from the Women's Study, Sister Lou, and her dear little ones that are such a blessing to hear on Sabbath mornings. Please be with her and keep her, Sister May, her mom Mary. I know, I believe sometimes she has asked for prayer for schoolwork. So please, Lord, thank you for keeping her and blessing her. I pray for Sister Ceresia, who has in times past mentioned headaches. I pray that you would please help her with those, dear Lord, and that she does not have to suffer through them anymore. I also continue to lift up the other sister, Sister Karina, who has lifted up her husband to come to your full truth, dear Lord. I lift up her mom and her mother-in-law. I also lift up her other family members, dear Lord, that she has mentioned, her sister who's pregnant, and her brother-in-law, who I believe was sick for a while. So you see her, Lord. Please bless her and keep her, I pray thee. I lift up all the other sisters, dear Savior, that have come to be in the women's study and those who would like to be. And, dear Lord, in my mind right now, I'm remembering the Woolingtons, who we haven't seen in a while. Please bless them and keep them, that everything is well with them. I pray for Brother Sidney, who we haven't seen in a while, and I pray that all is well with him, and I believe his brother is Laverne. And, dear Lord, I lift up dear Sister Lucy and Brother James and Brother Terry and Sister Ginger and Brother Dick and Sister Elaine as they travel over the byways and highways, and just asking for your protection and keeping of them. Dear Lord, I lift up all of the dear brethren that are here this evening, and just thank you beforehand for allowing us to have this season of prayer. I praise you, Lord, because you alone are worthy. I praise you for how you've opened doors for the work and how they're speaking of possibly being permanent. Lord, I don't want to doubt, but I praise you for that. I thank you for helping me to feel better. And Lord, I see that through the natural remedies, dear Savior, and through a change in diet, how it has affected even my mental outlook. And I praise you for that, Lord, and thank you so much for that. I do plead forgiveness for every sin known and unknown, and every unchristlike thought that I have ever had, and for all of the besetting sins and idols that I cling to, Lord. You see the three specifically, dear Savior, that I plead deliverance from and to completely let go of, that I may give my full and total devotion and consecration to Thee. Lord, you see Brother Garay, his wife, dear Sister Ana Milena, their children, Santiago and Anita. Please protect him and keep him, dear Lord, I pray. And not to linger, dear Savior, but lifting up my mom, my two brothers, Isaac and Weston, and that your perfect will be done in their life. And that's ill right now, West, with the cold. It seems to be going all around, and I thank you for being with the co-workers. As Elder Rob has mentioned, Latoya, who's coming down with the cold right now. But then the two co-workers this week that just by, it had to have been that you wanted me to hear, Lord. I wasn't trying to hear, but Jovan and Will are saying that they were brought up in the Adventist church. That means they know about the Sabbath, Lord, and they strayed away from it. So please give me the words to be able to somehow touch them and speak to them, dear Savior, that it would lead them back completely to your truth. I thank you again for this opportunity. And I plead just in touch with all of the prayers that have been lifted thus far. And thank you again, dear Lord, and plead that none of my unchristlike self would hinder my prayer as we step in the gap, so to speak, and have this season of intercessory prayer. I thank you again and praise you and plead your blood over each and every one represented here this evening. Any name that I have forgotten, please see them all, dear Lord. And I thank you beforehand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord God Jesus, and precious Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for the beautiful fellowship that we're able to have here in this little room. We thank you for those who are able to call in and rejoice with us in beautiful study and fellowship in Christ's name in this room. We thank you for keeping the lines open and protecting the ministry that you've given to your dear servant, our dear brother Rob. We thank you so much for raising him up for such a time as this and placing him in a way of his heart where he really loves to study and to do your will. We thank you for that, because he could not do that if you did not work that work in him and put him through many trials and many testings so that he would endure. And we pray that you'll continue to move with power in our dear brother's life to keep him ever focused on Christ Jesus and on the mission at hand. Pray also, Lord, that you'll please help him to also see to some of the projects that have been on his heart for some time now, and he would love to be able to see them come to fruition. I pray for my dear brother that that it can happen very soon. Pray that you'll grant him the wisdom that he needs according to your mercy and grace for the publishing ministry, that he is very, very much desiring to see to blossom and grow, that many leaves of grace and gospel truth and present truth may go forth throughout the entire world. So I pray that you'll please help him to raise up those that will be part of that ministry. I pray that you'll continue to work in my heart to help in that matter too, as you see fit according to your mercy and grace. We pray, dear living God, for the remnant family worldwide, and they are everywhere, Lord. You know where your children are, scattered throughout the globe, like precious seeds and jewels and salt. We pray, O Lord, for them, that you'll continue to move with power and grace and love and healing in their hearts. Continue to ground them very strongly in this beautiful truth, especially in your word, O Lord, and to cause them to cling very tightly to every single precious promise that you have given us, for your word is so true and is very much, very much to be trusted. And we thank you for it, O Lord. We pray, O Lord God, for our dear brother Jim, who I know hasn't had a chance to really come into the room very often, and he's having problems with his computer, and I pray that if there be a way that I can get to him before too long, I pray that you'll please make a way for that, Lord, so that our dear brother can come into the room and participate as his heart so very much longs to. So I pray, O Lord, for our dear brother Jim, that you'll continue to encourage him and keep his heart ablaze with love for you and the work to be done, and give him many opportunities to witness to so many others. We pray, O dear and living God, also for our dear sister Timmy. What a rejoicing in heart to know that you are still moving with great grace and power and encouragement in her life and in the lives of her children. We pray that you'll please make a way, O Lord, a very powerful way, according to your loving grace that you pour out so beautifully on your children, to cause her to be able to come and have fellowship with us here in this beautiful little room that we have by your grace. And let her heart be rejoiced, and when she enters in, let it just be filled with so much of your love and comfort in the fellowship here. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll please help us to love one another more fervently, more sincerely, and in a much more Christ-like way. Help us to truly be able to see out the needs of one another, and I guess really, Lord, just to really truly love one another as you love us. Help us to practice that in our daily life wherever we are. Give us more courage, and I speak also for myself too, to reach out to those who I may not know at all, but whom you are placing in my way. Help us to all keep our eyes open for those opportunities of showing Christ wherever we may go, and to give us opportunities to share the faith that you have planted in our hearts, watered with your love, and nurtured with the Holy Spirit. Help us to truly be able to do that and share that with our family and our friends and our neighbors, which you showed us through a very beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, of who our neighbor is. So we pray that you'll bring these beautiful lessons that you've shared with us throughout our lives and throughout your word, bring them back to our memory and prick our hearts and help us to understand we have work to do, and there's a vast field that is white and ripe for the harvest. Help us to truly be good and humble co-laborers, and as was mentioned by my dear brothers and sisters, help us to truly allow the Holy Spirit to root out the idols that are in our hearts and show them to us. Forgive me for holding on to different things in my heart that are getting in the way, Lord, and I'm sorry, and I pray you'll please forgive me for that, and forgive me for being stubborn and for doubting and having so many different fears pop up. Help me to see much more clearly, Lord, the power that you have in through your resurrection and grace, and help me to stop seeing in my flesh. Help us all to do that, dear Lord. Help us to truly look past our past and to see that you are the resurrection and the life, and you truly have a beautiful new life for us, and help us to truly live that that new life, dear Lord. We pray, Almighty God, for our leaders, as you have told us to pray for our leaders, because by your hand you have ordained them to rule in very many different countries. We pray, Lord, for their salvation. We pray that you'll move on their hearts, that they may have more compassion towards your children, and to judge wisely and rightly in every cause in the nations that they're in. We pray that you'll help us also to do the same thing in our lives with one another, and also in our home lives. Help us to be more diligent in our studies and our prayer, and to be importunate in our prayer, Lord, to continually really pray and pray and pray, O Lord, until we actually receive your blessing. We pray for the latter rain, dear God, and we pray for preparation of our hearts so that we can receive it. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace, and I pray, O dear Lord, please forgive me for every single unchristlike way and sin that I've committed and spoken and thought and hold on to. Please forgive me, dear God. Forgive me according to your mercy and your grace so that none of these prayers also are hindered. And we pray that you'll please hear these prayers. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord. Amen.
Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Revelation 4:11. And dear Father, I have an extra little prayer to say for Sister Yi Yi, that you will please be with her and help her to remember what she has learned. Bring it back to her memory that she may be able to do well on the exams that she'll be in. And continue to work in her life, continue to lead and guide her, continue to bring her away from deception and into thy marvelous light of truth. And it'd be wonderful, Lord, if she will be able to fellowship with us one day. Thank you so very much for hearing and answering this and working in her life and in the life of her precious ones. Thank you for being with us this evening, Father. Thank you for hearing and answering all of these prayers and petitions. And please continue to work in each one of our lives and bring us all back safely once again in sweet fellowship and communion with Thee and with one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming this evening, and Sister Michelle arrived a little bit late, but she's right here and says to send you her greetings and love, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Keep looking up, keep your focus on things above, and go with God.